Business unusual. And you think we're not romantic on The Money Show, but we're terribly romantic, aren't we, Colin Cullis? We care lots about roses and hearts and flowers on Valentine's Day, because that's how we roll. But there's big bucks in Valentine's Day.
That's more like it. We love big business. That's what it is.
We do. But this Valentine's lark has been around for centuries, and it really has been turned into a money-making monstrosity more and more over the last decade or six.
Yeah, and usually when you point me in whatever directions we need to go for the business unusual one, I disappear down a rabbit hole of history and everything else. Sometimes surprised by how old and arcane some of our traditions are, and then sometimes by just how new they are, yet they feel so very new. So I've put the list together of the classics you would get for somebody to celebrate this beautiful day of romance with a fancy restaurant, maybe some flowers, chocolates, a cuddly little bear, some diamond earrings if you've got the money, sexy underwear, or just a card to say, I love you. And I went to go and have a look at how these things came about. How did we invent them, and why did they make it onto the list for what we're doing? And I'm going to start off with a restaurant. And we've touched on this once before because it was the invention of the French, which shouldn't be surprising, in Paris, in fact. And it was set apart from the typical taverns and sort of bars and pubs you would go to and travelers would stay at, because you would go there specifically to sit down at your own table, use a menu, and order something. And the thing that was on those menus were restaurants. That's the bit that was quite surprising. You see, the restaurant takes its name by what was served there. These meaty broths meant to restore you, in French. Okay, I messed that one up. But they were supposed to make you feel better. And so that's how that one started. And you can imagine, you know, they were for the well-to-do, so special occasion. It was very much refined and very much focused on you. It wasn't just a meal. So you could see how this would have been a great way to show somebody it was a special occasion and to endear yourself and to show your affection by taking somebody for that. Losing your heart for love is great. Buying flowers at one point, I'm sure you know, could have cost you your shirt. Because the giving of flowers, while probably goes back before we even recording history, it really took off when Europeans started getting a little more wealthy and noticing what beautiful things the Turkish were doing with tulips. So they started spreading across Europe, and the Netherlands became particularly famous and still are for growing lots and lots of this stuff. And in the mid-1600s, the clamor for them became so great that it's probably the first speculative bubble that we've had in sort of business sense, where people just completely lost their minds, thought they would buy and spend any amounts to get hold of tulip bulbs, which of course, you know, only delivered a flower, and they couldn't justify the cost sometimes of an annual salary to buy one of these bulbs. And so people have recovered from that. But it wasn't the only reason why tulips were so popular from Turkey. The Turkish had used all sorts of blooms and turned them into a language, a form of cryptography called floriography. And for very conservative and uptight English gentlemen and ladies who would definitely not actually talk to each other about how they felt, they could simply arrange bouquets of flowers of certain blooms, certain sizes, and certain colors to express all of that for them instead. Along with that, you have the writers of the time, notably Shakespeare, who loved working in references to flowers in all of his plays, which no doubt made them seem even more romantic to women and probably convinced a couple of men of how strongly they could improve their wooing game by adding that to their particular mix. So we have then our flowers and our restaurant, and so we're sticking with food, and we're going to go after some chocolates. Now, chocolates, 3,000 years, humans have been noshing this stuff down in South America. The Spanish colonialists rock up. They think this stuff is pretty good, but they don't eat the chocolate straight away, because the pulp of the chocolate plant, you can make sort of a mild alcoholic drink. So odds are they got a bit of buzz from that one. But it's quite a mission to get these beans extracted. You know, you got to roast them, ferment them, you got to blend them, roll them. Takes quite a while and takes a lot of them. So again, it required sort of the wealth of Europe to start growing up before people really became addicted to the stuff. And again, anything that's expensive and tastes good, you can see how that would have become something that would show your endearment to somebody. In fact, it was so popular, so established, there's been this amazing thing that by the time the plant became classified, its Latin name is Theobroma, which means food of the gods. That all the guy named Carl Linnaeus was just really into his chocolate. So let's go now to a nice little stuffed toy, and that might be a teddy bear with a big heart in it or something. Well, that's relatively modern, because we have an American president to thank for the creation of that one. Theodore Roosevelt was off hunting back in 1902. He didn't find much to shoot. He was hunting bear, and one of his team, or his aides, captured a bear and sort of held it on a rope and said, "There you go, sir, you can just shoot this bear." And he said, "No, And that became a bit of a story because he said no as a hunter to, you know, doing the sportsman thing. And so somebody wrote a cartoon about it and drew this pretty little bear on it, which gave another guy, he sold sweets, an idea for making a stuffed toy, which he called Teddy's Bear. The name got corrupted, the bear became popular, and that's why we give these little cutesy teddy bears to everybody. Underwear is another a popular one. Not that underwear, obviously, that goes way back, although men weren't very invested in buying it, and women sort of became more interested in buying it as new fabrics came along. So first industrial revolution, massive improvements in fabrics, that was particularly useful for women, so that it became more comfortable, better fitting, more flattering, and all the rest of it. But still, men weren't involved in this thing at all. That took all the way up until the 70s, when the founders of Victoria's Secret, who always felt as if they were they shouldn't be anywhere near a women's department store asking for underwear, created that chain specifically to attract women, obviously to buy and sell them better underwear, but to make a particular thing about having men come in and buy it for their partners or anybody that they wanted to give it to. And a recent survey, US survey, says that of all of the gifts bought for Valentine's, 18% would be clothing, and the vast majority of that most likely will be underwear.
I don't mean to rush you, but in this day, and that's lovely, and all of these things that have become commercially viable, and they've created industries and jobs and things over time in the name of romance. But the good old-fashioned gift card has gone digital, and that, to my mind, is the death of romance.
You're always so ahead of these things, because it actually was. It was the card. It was the invention of the printing press, and then, you know, the writers of the time, and the fact that books and literature became popular. Then these greeting cards were created, and that particular holiday really caught on. To show your affection for somebody was to write a greeting card. And that actually allowed all of these other products to be fueled by the fervor to want to give something on Valentine's Day. But like you said, giving a gift card, a Valentine's Day card, that's the one thing that has really been disrupted, because you'd simply send somebody, you know, an SMS or something along those lines with a bunch of little emoji in it, which probably is more likely to convey your messages that way, rather than things like diamonds, which does have a remarkable story. In fact, you probably have seen the Eureka Diamond.
I have.
Well, that's kind of a very telling one for how that story comes. And it's the one that South Africa has as a very key part about it. So the Eureka Diamond is the first diamond that was discovered here in South Africa. And then we found a lot, so much so that it really did sort of upset the apple cart for the total supply of diamonds in South Africa. And De Beers has been the main players in that market. We're looking to see how do we get more people to buy this. Now, prior to 1947, engagements didn't necessarily come with gifts, although an engagement ring was a thing. It goes back quite a long time, but it wasn't popular. But in the early 1940s, they got hold of a US marketing firm and said, can you try and impress upon people that if you really wanted to show your love, you'd give them this thing, this diamond, which is forever, and that shows your eternal sort of betrothal to somebody. And they had some very sophisticated marketing to get people really interested in to do this thing, and it took off. Then they went to Japan and did the same thing, and currently it's the big thing in China, because wasn't really the, you know, major deal there.
Yeah.
And so successfully, they have been managed to make the de facto thing you give to show love, and in the biggest case of that one is, you know, engagements, to give a diamond. So these companies have really shown some quite amazing things, given that it was, you know, based on a couple of people who were killed simply for marrying people. The original story of Saint Valentine was that he was a Roman priest who was marrying people at a time that was illegal, and he was executed on the 14th of February and so lost his life. And even if you can't do any of these things, Bruce, because some of them are expensive, the important thing is on this day simply to, as best as possible, let those who you do love know that you do.
And we're out of time, otherwise I would. Colin Cullis with Business Unusual.